Here we go, hour number three, and glad you're along tonight. Friday night, 3 days to go. It's the last Friday before doomsday, some people say. We just don't know. I wish I could indicate a better projection as to what I think is going to happen. All I can look at are the options at this point, the variables. There are too many. Father Paul Kramer is standing by. Hopefully he's sitting by and relaxing. Welcome back, Father Kramer. How's everything in Ireland?
Well, everything here in Ireland is in full disorder, at least outside of the four walls of my house.
Well, I'm glad you have four walls and not three.
At least I have some sanity inside the house, but the outside world, it's a mad world out there here in Ireland, let me tell you.
It's just as crazy over here. I sent you a story. You got it. It's titled Headlines Here. Ireland's Gone Mad. They okayed 72 different genders. Ireland has brought a new hate crime bill into law, but leading Irish gay and feminist advocates have said the new legislation was sloppily drafted and, quote, threatens free speech and places our rights at risk. Boy, these people are just merciless on the corruption of language, semantics, communication. Everything is upside down and backwards to these people. No, their free speech is not at risk at all. They're in the driver's seat. 72 genders approved. How does that happen? And it was done by the Criminal Justice Act, which Irish President Michael D. Higgins signed on October 29th, and it defined gender as, quote, the gender of a person or the gender which a person expresses as the person's preferred gender or with which the person identifies and includes transgender and a gender other than those of male and female, end quote. Madness indeed. It's crazy.
And somehow, in drafting this legislation, they neglected to define what is gender.
That's typical. They're stupid. People are stupid.
What is a gender?
Uh-huh.
I know what a gender is, but they seem not to understand what a gender is.
Anyone or they don't. Says, they may have done it on purpose. I don't know. It's all nuts.
Anyone who says there are 72 genders has no idea what a gender is.
No, that's an arguable proof of mental illness, if anybody says that.
Well, it's a form of hysteria that these people are. They're delusional.
It is delusional. I couldn't agree more. So was this big talk, I guess, in the media there? I just saw the one story over here. I didn't see what was going on in the Irish press.
Irish people are talking about it, but I don't waste my time with the Irish press.
Right. Well, it's not the people's press. It's like the press over here. It's all controlled by that certain group of people who have been running the show for quite some time. They know how to take charge and keep it. They're not going to give it up.
On both sides of the ocean, they all come from the same cesspool.
It's correct. Absolutely correct. How does America look right now to you? Now, I'm sure you're paying, you always pay some attention. But if you're paying close attention now, we're 3 days away from the so-called election. And to me, the election is just another chapter in a soap opera. The decision was made long ago as to what was going to happen here. And they're running the people through their agenda, their script, and just to make it look like there's an orderly sort of process involved with a continuity of government here. Well, there's not. It's all controlled by that same group of people. And as I've said earlier, and let me just repeat this quickly, if Harris, the vice president, wins, and I'm using wins very advisedly and rather tongue-in-cheek, if Harris wins Her husband, in all likelihood, Douglas Emhoff, a very powerful liberal attorney, is also very likely involved with the Mossad. So they will have a Mossad asset in the White House married to the nitwit president. Now, on the other side, you've got Trump. And the Trump camp now has been rejoined by Jared Kushner, who, along with one other Jew, is literally scripting and writing out all the appointments that Trump is going to make. So both sides of this alleged election are controlled by the Zionists right now. Not to mention the fact that the Biden regime has the highest percentage, highest number of Jewish Americans serving in that administration of any administration. So are we penetrated by world Zionism? You betcha. Go ahead.
Well, the voters have quite a selection to make. They can choose between the good cop and the bad cop.
You got it. It's exactly right. But unfortunately, both cops are working for the same Zionist organization. It doesn't matter. Trump was just at Rabbi Schneerson's tomb a week or 10 days ago with Ben Shapiro praying at Schneerson's tomb. So, there you go. It's all really, it's sci-fi, but it's really happening. It was all planned out long ago, scripted. All of this, that's my opinion.
So I'm reduced to being a spectator at this so-called election because I can't take it seriously.
You mean you're not going to vote? Everyone else seems to be able to vote, whether you're a citizen or not.
Oh,
now,
well,
this is nuts.
Someone made that decision for me because I filled out the forms to get my absentee ballot, and I never got
uh-huh.
it.
I see. Well, not to worry, because this is poised to really start to literally burn. They're already burning ballot drop boxes in Washington State. There are a number of videos now showing voting machines where the person goes in and presses Trump as his or her selection, and Trump will not register. And one guy, I just ran the video and watched it 20 minutes ago, he pressed Trump 10 times in the little booth where the voting machine was. And after the 10th time, he stopped, and Kamala Harris lit up as his choice, right there on the machine. So that's an example, a tiny little fly speck example of the chaos that's going on here already. Wait till Tuesday.
And I think it was in the state of Michigan that there was a person, a non-citizen,
a Chinese
citizen who voted.
Yep.
And they said they can't discount that vote now because because it's in the system.
I know. It's really crazy. I mean, you could take that and run with it further. What about all the votes, the ballots that were burned up in the ballot boxes, the collection boxes in Washington State? What about those votes? They never made it into the system. So those people have all been disenfranchised. Like I say, I don't think this is going to be resolved by next Wednesday. I don't see either party announcing that they are withdrawing their protest and they'll accept the election results. I suggest that both parties are going to take this probably to the Supreme Court.
Well, it's going to turn into a big free-for-all, I'm sure.
You got that right. What about the Vatican now? Does the Vatican do much in terms of politics? Are they making statements about the American election? Is the Pope stepping over the line again? What are they doing? What's going on in the Vatican right now?
Well, Bergoglio's track record is that he clearly detests Donald Trump.
I remember that. Yeah.
He prefers this pure, unadulterated product from the cesspool by the name of Biden and whoever hangs on to Biden and who's coming after him. And Bergoglio is a very shrewd operator, I have to say. He has overthrown the papacy now. The papacy as it existed in the Catholic Church, or should say as it exists in the Catholic Church, there is no hope of the Catholic Church as such.
Right.
There is this new institution, this counterfeit church that is called the Synodal Church, that has been created by Bergoglio, and he has overthrown the papacy in his church.
Now, may I ask a question, Father Kramer? Did Bergoglio somehow make a formal announcement that was the new name, the Synodal Church? Or was that just something that the public picked up and kind of ran with?
No, the public picks it up and runs with it because the Vatican is shouting this term out over and over again all the time. They won't refer to, they don't talk about the church being the Catholic Church anymore. They talk about the Synodal Church, the Synodal Method, the Synodal
They don't
process.
Even use the name Catholic anymore? It's the word Catholic is not spoken much?
They still use it, but in a very secondary sense, to try to create the impression that there's a continuity, that is still the same church as before, but it's only undergone some kind of a transformation regarding the way things are being done, as if it's just something disciplinary, how things are changing to somehow democratize the church to a certain extent. But that's not it at all. this document of the Synod, it's called the Final Document. The Final Document actually overthrows the papacy. If you look at it carefully, and Bergoglio,
when you say final document, Father Kramer, what document are we talking about? The final document,
the synod's final document. That's the title of the document. Final document.
Okay. All right.
And it's filled with a great deal of verbosity, but the key phrase that I found there was on the papacy regarding the exercise of the ecclesiastical power of jurisdiction. And what it says is that even at the level of the papacy, these deliberative bodies, whatever they want to call them, they use such terminology in the document, but they refer to the synods. They're really talking about the episcopal conferences, the bishops' conferences, and the groups and the various appointed groups and bodies that discuss questions, whether it be of doctrine or discipline or sacraments, morality, etc., that the Pope cannot disregard what they're saying. In other words, the Pope cannot be acting as a sovereign pontiff anymore. The Pope has to somehow influenced by them in his decisions. Mm-hmm. He can't, as if the Pope cannot decide alone by himself. Now, this is against Catholic dogma. This is diametrically opposed to the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
A papacy that's constituted this way is not the Catholic papacy. It is, Bergoglio promised it would be a different church. The Synodal Church will be a different church. And the Synodal Church now has a different kind of papacy than the Catholic Church has. In order to give that decision-making power, to confer it on the... from the lowest levels to the top, as I said before, power comes from the bottom and it works its way up to the top. Just and at the top level, it's just the rubber stamp.
Got it.
I've been using this long before, even before Bergoglio became the Pope. I saw this coming, and I said they're going to have a chairman of the board Pope, and that's what Bergoglio has turned the papacy into. A chairman of the board papacy. But the board of directors makes the decisions, and their decisions follow upon the decisions of the
who appointed the board of directors, so to speak. That would just be the good old boys getting together, right?
The people who were the gang members with Bergoglio, Bergoglio appoints the man who's elected, the mafia boss, of course, appoints his own mafia underlings. And that's how it works. Just like the mafia. It works just like the mafia. And it has been described, in fact, I described it in the first volume of my book that was published a couple of years ago, as a Soviet church, because these deliberative bodies, in the Russian language, they would be called councils. Uh-huh. They would be called, the word is Soviet,
right.
And remember, Lenin made popular the expression in the Communist Party, all power to the Soviets. This is how they imposed their power on Russia, soon to become the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. That all mm-hmm. power goes to the Soviets. And the Soviets are on a, even down to the local level, you had Soviets in every with trade unions and everything. Anything political, anything having labor unions, all the power was concentrated in the hands of the Soviets.
Yeah, there he is. Okay, you're back. You dropped off just for a moment there. You might want to retrace the last 30 seconds or so, if you can.
Okay, it's a Soviet church.
Got it.
These bishops' conferences, you have the bishops' conferences, you have the local deliberative bodies, study groups. Working groups, study groups, that all comes under the heading of what in the Soviet Union was called the Soviets. The Russian word Soviet means council, and a council is a deliberative body. And Bergoglio's document, the mafia underlings are the ones who produced the document, and it was rubber stamped by the rubber stamped chairman of the board, Pope. Uh-huh. That's how the synodal church works. So you have.
It certainly doesn't seem to work for the people. Those days are over.
No, because everybody is handpicked. The mafia picks everyone who's going to be in these study groups, these working groups, these deliberative bodies, all the appointed positions in the bishops' conferences. So it's the party, like the Soviet Union. It's the party that controls everything. It's a Stalinist dictatorship, but it has that appearance of being democratic because as if the power comes from below. And in fact, the power is concentrated in the party.
Got it.
And the party chairman is the man they call the Pope. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who gives the rubber stamp.
Let me take this a little higher. Pull back and kind of approach this from a more of a drone-like view, overview. We talked a couple visits ago about the influence of Zionism. We'll use that just for the hell of it. And I mean hell. How much Zionist influence is there in the current Soviet Vatican. That's a tough question. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but because who knows? But what indications are there that the Zionists are involved at the highest levels of what used to be the Catholic Church?
Well, I'll answer the question with a question, and the answer is going to be obvious. What influence does Zionism have on the American government?
All right. Amen. Gotcha.
Now,
well said.
Ecclesiastical Freemasonry and secular Freemasonry work together. They collaborate together.
Right.
Who controls Freemasonry?
Yep. There's no honest way that I can approach this as an American citizen and not see the simple fact that Zionism is in control of both parties, the entire government, certainly the money, the media, the education system, you name it, and politics at all levels. That's not to say every single politician is controlled by a Zionist handler, but it is to say that a hell of a significant percentage of all American politicians are beholden to large donors, shall we say. They get bought out with donations, and there are other ways of taking control as well. This is Tel Aviv West now, when you're talking about Washington, D.C.
I described this power structure that we're talking about here already in a book that I wrote. The third edition was finally published in 2013. The first edition came out in 2011. It's called The Mystery of Iniquity.
Huh. Well, let's go through a little bit of that, what you put in the book. How did you lay it out? How did you present it? From what angle did you approach it? It'd be interesting.
What I did was I pointed out that this is what all foretold in the Secret of Fatima, the secret that we haven't read.
Right.
Those who have read it have spoken about it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm putting that secret in geopolitical perspective because there is that geopolitical aspect of the secret. And that's why the lefties are always so furious about Fatima, because they say that the message is political, as if God has no right, as if heaven has no right to make any comment on the evil politics of the earth, as if the creator of the earth has no can make no input as to the
pretty silly. So tell me more about how you approached it in your book. This is interesting because back in 2011, when you first published the book, this wasn't common knowledge to people, not like it is now, because that group of people is no longer trying as hard as they used to obfuscate and hide their mechanisms of control. They're just laughing. They don't care. It's like that it's game over. They know damn well they're not going to be dispossessed from their control matrix. They're there, and they have virtual ownership and control of much of Europe, much of England, and certainly the majority of the American government. There's no doubt about it. They're not hiding it anymore. Now, I'm not saying the mainstream media is coming out and revealing this, but they're just in our faces, rather mocking much of America, and it's blatant. So how did you come about wanting to even write about something this insidious and this dark? This is not a good thing.
I know, but I was able to learn very early in my life about Freemasonry, because even as a teenager, I heard about the message of Fatima and how the ones who were so opposed to religion in Portugal were the Freemasons. So I had the understanding that the two main enemies of the church were communism and Freemasonry, and I was able to get books on the topic. Mm-hmm. You had books on the New World Order and Freemasonry and the Bilderberg organization.
Yes. Yes.
Going back to the 1970s and earlier.
Yes.
And more updated information, for example, on Bilderberg. I'll mention one author, Daniel Estulin, who has written really well about the Bilderberg organization.
He has. Yeah, he was on years ago on the program. Very well spoken. Very wise about this whole thing. I agree.
So I've been researching this this and related topics for a long time. And so I came to the understanding, knowing that the communists back in the early 20th century, when they were having all these communist revolutions taking place in Eastern Europe, the head honchos were all Freemasons.
Yeah.
And so was Lenin. Lenin was a Freemason. And so they were Zionists and Freemasons, and the Zionists and Freemasons were usually the same person.
Same people. I agree.
Same people, yeah.
My grandfather, who married into the family when I was about two or three, was a Mason. He came over from France. He was a French chef. And he was a 33rd degree Freemason. And he tried to introduce me to the whole Masonic thing. And they had some organization for teenage boys. What the hell was it called? I can't remember now. The Foresters or something like that. Anyway, he tried to get me to go to some of these things. And it was strange to me, and I had an immediate negative reaction to it. I didn't want anything to do with it. Now, I didn't know then what 33rd degree meant, but he was way up there. Now, there are degrees beyond 33, as I understand it, that are basically hidden, that are up there and higher ranked than 33rd. So
I believe it's up to 360 degrees is what I understand.
Yeah, and they cut it off at 33 in terms of public acknowledgement. They just don't talk about the other ones, which, you know, that's part of the secrecy of the whole organization. 300, huh? Wow. All right. Wouldn't be surprised.
Well, Albert Pike said, in his book, Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike explains that the purpose of, that they set out for in Freemasonry is more to conceal than to reveal. And that's why you have the so-called Blue Lodges, who will say that is official Freemasonry. It's the first three degrees. That Master Mason is the highest degree in official Masonry, and these other organizations are just private organizations that Masons would join.
Uh-huh.
This is the fable that they promote. That's for outward consumption. The Masons have terminology for that. They say what is exoteric is what the Soviets would call outward consumption. But what is esoteric, that's what they really believe. That's the real power structure is something that is held, kept hidden for themselves. After all, uh-huh. It is a secret society. It is a secret society, and keep that secret.
And they're pretty successful at keeping it, generally, quite secret. So, yeah.
Yes.
It would be kind of tricky to try to put one above the other, Zionism or Freemasons, because they do intermingle, so to speak, not intermingle breeding-wise, but they're very close to each other. But I think ultimately it would seem to me that Zionism, if I had to name one or the other, would be the ultimate dominant power. But again, that's just me. And that Zionism wasn't even talked about until the 1880s when Herzl began to champion Zionism and talk about it.
Yes. And it has an interesting history. It is an aberrant sect that came into power over organized Jewry. If I can generalize a bit, to put it that way.
Yeah.
And that's why they exercise such a malevolent power.
And if I might, I don't believe for a second that they will ever give up that power and control voluntarily. I think they'll take the whole thing down, the whole planet down, rather than give up their control. These people are fanatics. That's my take.
They are. But God is more powerful than they are. And they'll take the planet down, but God is going to take them down. And God is going to take them down in such a decisive way that their collective will be so crushed that they will eventually turn to Jesus Christ.
Well, that would be an interesting outcome. Yeah. That's the only way they'll learn.
The first proposal made by Theodor Herzl was that all the Jews, because of all the suffering that the Jewish people have gone through for so long time, that they could end it all now. They should end it all now. They should have a great procession of Jews up to St. Stephen's Cathedral and all be baptized into the church. That was his first proposal. You know what? That's going to happen eventually. They will be baptized. When Zionism will be so crushed. The Arabs
Fine with
are
me.
Going to be,
yes.
The Arabs and the Jews will become Christian. But that will be after the conversion of Russia. The conversion of Russia is the key.
When you say conversion of Russia, what do we mean there? They're already purportedly Christian, the Russian Eastern Orthodox Church. What kind of conversion are we talking about?
A real turning back to God, because you have about 2% of the Russian people who are even going to church.
How does that compare with the formerly United States then? This country may have to go through some kind of a conversion as well. We've lost our way. This country is literally consumed. Go ahead, please.
Europe also. I think Europe is worse than the United States even as far as religious faith. But all of the Western countries are really, they're all collectively basket cases.
But they didn't get there on their own, Father Kramer. I think that's important to mention too. This has been a very well organized, long term takedown, and crushing. Speaking of crushing, they have succeeded in crushing most of the. I just look at Americans, and they're not involved. They have been led down the wrong path so many times. And now they're not even coming back at all. They're hooked on their screen. I call it terminal screen addiction, whether it be a cell phone or a 75-inch screen on the wall. They're screen addicted. And that screen messaging for them, whether they want to admit it or not, creates their baseline reality that they relate to as life and living. It's the old repetitive thing. It's over and over and over. And all they do is stare at it in almost a suspended animated state intellectually. They no longer process the data and make decisions on it. It just goes right in. So this cell phone, in terms of a weapon of control, is really a one heck of an achievement. They have done it.
Yes, they have. And again, it's total control. I guess it's called, to use the title of a book, Engel, I think the author's name is Full Spectrum Dominance.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's it. And it's facilitated, I think, primarily. Well, you can take it from A to Z almost. You've got pharmaceuticals from a very diabolical pharmaceutical industry. Most of those drugs are just deadly toxins. The food has been completely corrupted. They targeted the morality of America, which when I was a little kid, we still had morals. They're all but gone now. You see young people all over the place, tattooed, going nowhere at the speed of light. They're going nowhere. And it's quite a shock when you understand that the depth, the full spectrum dominance of this country by that group of people. They've done it. Well, they took over the money, and through that, that's the prime engine of destruction right there. When you control the money, you control virtually everything. And most everyone seems to have a price now. You can buy out people, trick them, and get them to some kind of a compromised position where you control them. And that's another major mechanism that they're using here in Europe, everywhere. These people are really masters. Now, I hear what you're saying, and I will look forward to the day when they are dealt with appropriately. That day can't come too soon. Otherwise, we're going to continue to just descend into this morass of evil. And the people just don't see it. I think a lot of them don't want to see it. And so, but in either case, it doesn't matter. They're not dealing with it. People aren't responsible. Those phones and that whole visual screen addiction creates complete irresponsibility. It gives them a ticket to ride. The Romans had it figured out, and I've said it 100 times. It's now bread and circuses to control the masses. And we have Roman arenas all over the place. They're called basketball arenas or football stadiums. These are Roman coliseums. Some in micro, some in macro. And through them, they are literally doing the same thing the ancient Romans did to control the populace. Circuses, entertainment, and food, bread. That's where we are, at least over here.
Yes, and it's so corrupted the educational system that now the term intellectual has become an expression of derision.
Oh, they see what they're doing. See, that's part of the semantic war on organized civilization as well. Words and terms are now being literally reversed in many cases. I hear you. I didn't know that, though. That's another disgusting example. How interesting.
Well, how many times have you heard absolutely radical absurdity coming out of people's mouth? And as someone who still has their head screwed on in the right direction will say, well, he's an intellectual. Yeah. We know what they mean.
Interesting. I like that term, radical absurdity. Yes. And I think a lot of people are embracing that and pushing it. I think it's become an agenda item. Radical absurdity. Very good.
Well, that man in Santa Marta in the Vatican, he's coming out with lots of radical absurdity, and he learned it in the Masonic Lodge.
Fernandez?
No, his boss, Bergoglio.
Oh, Bergoglio. All right. So he was brought up in the Masonic umbrella. Interesting. All right. Not surprised.
I don't know at what age he joined the lodge, but he. Like I mentioned this before, he wanted to fire the Vatican chief of security, the chief of the gendarmerie,
and the Swiss guards.
Not the Swiss guards, no, the Vatican security. That's two separate organizations.
Okay.
It's what we would call the police force, which is different than the Swiss Guards. The Swiss Guards are a military force, but there is also a police force.
Mm-hmm.
And the chief of police there was a man by the name of Domenico Gianni. And there was a clash of personality between Bergoglio and Gianni, and Bergoglio wanted to fire him. And Gianni got word of it, and he made complaints to in certain avenues of recourse. And right. Bergoglio received a phone call from Buenos Aires from the venerable master of the lodge there in Buenos Aires, and he was told, "You may not fire Domenico Gianni." He's under Masonic obedience to his Masonic superiors.
Uh-huh.
Now, this information was communicated to me. It was by one of the cardinals of the Roman Curia. And I kept his name secret because he was, while he was alive. But now that he's departed from this world, I can tell you, the one who informed me about this was uh-huh. Cardinal Renato Martino. Cardinal okay. Martino, who had been the delegate of the Holy See to the United Nations. He was mm-hmm. a very high ranking diplomat of the Vatican, and he was the one who was able to get this information, and it was transmitted to me.
Very good. Thanks for sharing. That's interesting. Should we look forward to Bergoglio's passing, or might his successor, as I've been worried about, so to speak, be worse? How quickly are they going to ramp up this complete reconfiguration under the label of a fake religion when Bergoglio goes? Will that trigger anything, or will it just be the usual ceremonial issues that they do? What's going to happen next?
It's like a race car. One tire gets blown out, you just replace it with another tire.
Okay. All right.
The thing is, what people don't understand what Bergoglio was doing here with the synod, because the more radical crazies who wanted the morality of the church to be completely overturned
right.
into every form of moral madness, they're so disappointed in Bergoglio that he didn't implement measures to approve of their perversity. You had people who once women to become priests, bishops, cardinals, even pope. And the Catholic Church has already defined, as a matter of faith, that the priesthood is reserved for baptized members of the male sex. So women can never become priests in the Catholic Church. But the feminists are all up in arms that against Bergoglio. The former president of Ireland is just furious with Bergoglio, for, uh-huh. as if he represents this traditional patriarchy. And these people have no idea. Bergoglio is far more crafty than these people even understand. He's miles ahead of them. What Bergoglio did is he has restructured the Vatican. He has completely reformatted the Vatican, mm-hmm. in creating a new church with a new kind of papacy. That's already been done, which it's like someone who builds a race car. Before you can take your race car to Indianapolis and win the 500-mile race, you got to build the car first. And that's what this synod has accomplished. They've built the car.
How successful, how complete is this new car at this point? I get it. That's a good analogy.
watch in the coming half year, watch how fast this car is going to go. It's going to go much faster than anyone thought.
Wow.
Because it has been built. It has been completed now.
Mm-hmm.
Bergoglio has, little by little, he's made the changes in canon law. He's instituted false doctrines, anti-Catholic doctrines, and they get published in the Acts of the Apostolic See to gain the status of what they call ordinary magisterium. And the Catholic people they don't understand the nature of this new church, so they don't see the danger of what's happening. They think, well, he hasn't made any solemn definitions, any solemn decrees. In fact, he only put his signature on the synod's document. But that, according to the rules set down by Bergoglio, constitutes this new heresy as ordinary magisterium and binding on the, as if it were to be binding on the Catholic faithful, which it can't, because it's against the faith of the church. It is a different church with a different faith, and now they're going to come out with a completely different religion.
This has happened like over a ten-year period. I think he's been in 10 years.
They came out with a major document on synodality back in 2014. That's 10 years ago. They've been working on this, building this. They've been building this race car very carefully. And now it's at the starting line, and when the opening shot is fired for the race to begin, you're going to see how fast this car is going to go. This new Vatican apparatus with its synodal church, the whole mechanism has been put into place, and now you're going to see a revolution take place much faster than you could ever have imagined.
This is not a good revolution. This is bad. So we're going into a very dark, dark age. Dark age.
And as I've been pointing out, ecclesiastical Freemasonry and secular Freemasonry work together. So when you have the one world religion,
right?
This pagan, Gnostic, one world religion promoted by ecclesiastical Freemasonry is going to be imposed eventually by secular Freemasonry. So when church and state will unite together in imposing the new world order on the world with the false religion over the whole planet. That's what they intend to do.
Not good. It does look like this one world order hasn't missed much in terms of its planning. It's very goal oriented. It certainly has. Look what it's done to Europe and America with these third world, fourth world people who have no interest and no business being in a first world nation. They don't speak the language. They have different values. They have all the rest of the things that are not part of our contemporary paradigm of living. It doesn't work. What is the church's formal position on? They call them immigrants. I call them invaders. Is the church still pushing for them to be brought to Europe? Where is it now?
Bergoglio is absolutely rabid about this. Uh-huh. He has nothing but scorn and insults and defamatory remarks to othering people who don't accept this agenda of invasion.
Not good at all. Will there come a point where the rank and file Catholics, when they finally realize what's been done at the top, will there be any potential for a pushback? I don't want to use the term revolt, but will they say, no, this is not the church of my grandparents, of my parents, This is not the church I'm a member of. Will there be any kind of a negative reaction?
This is going to happen, but it's going to happen with God's help, because those forces for the New World Order, they have missed something. It's in sacred scripture. They will be crushed, and the wrath of God is going to crush them. And this is in the third secret of Fatima. They will be crushed.
Very good. I'm 100% in favor of that. Maybe next visit we'll go back and spend a little more time on the third secret and this particular aspect of it. All right. We'll say goodnight, too. 3 days to go until Tuesday. Hang in there. We'll be covering it all the way through. I think I've got Yoichi Shimatsu will be here Monday and Tuesday night. And we've got some good people here to take a look around and help all of us analyze. All right. Have a good weekend. Take care.